All right. Thanks very much, James. I thought my talk was going to be innovative until I heard Ben. So mine's just going to be very blasé compared to that. But if you come expecting a kind of a traditional research talk, you're going to be disappointed with my presentation. I should tell James that, you know, if we get to 10 minutes and you haven't seen a materials and methods slide yet, don't worry, okay? There isn't one, actually. So what I'm going to do is look at this relationship between growth habit and response to grazing management. I should mention, when I first started coming to these meetings and started to go to Forage and Grazing Land talk, there were two topics, alfalfa and tall fescue. And I decided after about 5 years that I had heard more tall fescue talks than I needed to hear in a lifetime. They still kept coming for a while. But I must indicate that the last few years, rhizoma peanut has been Florida's revenge. Okay? We're coming at you. All right. So let's jump into this thing and let's talk about this question. What affects plant response to grazing? Well, there was a professor who once said to an undergraduate class, said, by the end of the course, you should be able to look at a plant in the field, and knowing nothing else about this plant, you should have a very clear idea of how the plant should be managed under grazing. Okay? It would seem that based on that statement, the professor thinks it's all about growth habit. You see it, you know what to do. Well, so one thing we're going to look at today is that professor correct? And I'm not naming any names here. All right, the way we're going to do this is we're going to look at a little bit of a case study comparing FloraGraze and Ecoturf rhizoma peanut. So FloraGraze is the most abundant cultivar used in the southeast. Ecoturf is a germplasm that was released in 2010. So there's some things we think we know about Ecoturf, so I'm going to share those with you. It's thought to be a more decumbent plant than the existing cultivars, including FloraGraze. It's also of particular interest for grazed pasture, in part because of a more decumbent growth habit that may make it more competitive with grasses like Bahia grass. Yet, in talking to producers, some of them have told me that Ecoturf yields as well or better than some of the upright growing cultivars in a hay production system. So I'm scratching my head a little bit and thinking, can all of these things be true? And so I'm interested in looking at the data. So Katie Cooley did some work where she looked at sward characteristics of these two entries under a hay type management, kind of 8+ week sort of regrowth period. And if we're looking for decumbent Ecoturf, it's not showing up here. It's at least as tall as FloraGraze, and these numbers were not, means are not different, and a bulk density is about the same. Okay, so that's hay management. Now let's look at some data from Kim Mullinax. It was published in 2016, and this is under grazing, same two genotypes, and she looked at grazing frequencies of 3 and 6 weeks and characterized the canopy in terms of pre-grazing canopy height as well as herbage bulk density. Her data would show that FloraGraze is taller than Ecoturf. And if we look at bulk density, what we can see that if it's grazed very frequently, not only is FloraGraze taller, but its herbage bulk density is only about half that of Ecoturf. So Ecoturf is a shorter, more compact canopy, more biomass per centimeter of the sward. Well, so what do we know so far? We know that Ecoturf is short with high bulk density under frequent grazing, but it seems that we also know that it's not short, and it has average bulk density under hay management, or relatively long regrowth periods. So have we learned anything yet? I'm not sure. Let's keep going. Can both these statements be true? If so, how? And so we need to continue a little bit of a walk through the data here. So we're going back a few years, and these are data that Alfonso Ortega published in 1992. And this was some of the first grazing work done on FloraGraze, rhizoma peanut, the one we would expect to be somewhat more upright in growth habit than Ecoturf. He looked at a number of grazing frequencies and grazing intensities, and I'm showing you just a few of them here. But what you can see is that we have grazing frequencies, 7, 28, and 49 days. And then we have residual herbage mass, a measure of grazing intensity, 500 or 1,500 kilograms of dry matter per hectare. If you've ever seen a pasture to soil level with 500 kilograms of dry matter per hectare, you know that's not much. Okay, so they're grazed pretty hard. All right, so what happened? Year one, let's look at these data. And basically what we're seeing is somewhat what I would expect. We have a linear increase in herbage accumulation as we increase the length of the period between grazing events, both for the 500 and the 1500 treatment. 1500's doing a little better, but not all that much. All right, so year two, let's put up the data here for the 1500, and you can see that the response is virtually identical to year one. The plant's doing just fine under that kind of grazing management, no indication of loss of stand or any particular problems. However, if we look at the 500 kilogram per hectare residual dry matter grazed every 7 days, we can see that in the second year, those pastures basically crashed and burned. All right? So again, this is flora graze. They also reported data on botanical composition, and I'm not going to go through all of it, but what you can see is, again, for that frequent intense grazing, we went from about 2/3 of the dry matter being peanut in the first year to about 1/4 being rhizoma peanut in year two. All right, so flora graze didn't do very well when frequently intensively grazed, right? We saw that. So let's check out EcoTurf and see what's going on. So Aaron Stankliff and colleagues did a 2-year experiment where they looked at 3 grazing frequencies, 1, 4, and 7 weeks, and then 2 post-grazing sward heights, 4 and 8 centimeters. 400 meter square experimental units that were individually fenced and grazed. And that's as close to a method slide as you'll get here. All right, so what happened with EcoTurf? So this is herbage accumulation. You'll see we have year one data in this slide. Stubble height, 4 centimeters on the left, 8 centimeters on the right. Frequency on the x-axis. Remember what happened with flora graze. As we delayed grazing longer, we saw what we typically expect to see with forages. With longer regrowth intervals, you have more herbage accumulation. EcoTurf must be a rebellious teenager that didn't get the message. It's breaking the rule, right? So as we increase the length of the regrowth period, we're actually seeing lower herbage accumulation. Now, when I saw the data, I thought, okay, it's first year data, lots of different things can happen, and particularly this number threw me. We had the highest herbage accumulation with frequent intense grazing. And again, I kind of said, okay, that's a first year response. So we did that study for the second year, and those are the data at the bottom. And basically this response was virtually identical. If anything, the frequent close grazing did even better than it did in the first year. And by this time, I've decided that I know a whole lot less about forage plants than I thought I did. So the question is, what's going on? Why was EcoTurf herbage accumulation so high when grazed closely or frequently? And so we looked at a number of different things. One thing we looked at was herbage bulk density. You remember that when we looked at those hay systems, the bulk density was in the 130 kilogram per hectare per centimeter range. So that would be 0.13 on this scale. And you can see we're up for that frequent close grazing treatment, regrowth interval 1 week, it's a 4 centimeter treatment. We are at almost 500 kilograms per hectare of forage for each 1 centimeter across that hectare. That's a number that I wasn't really sure was possible, but it's a high number. If we go back to revisit Kim's data, you'll see that for flora graze, grazed at 3 weeks, grazed at 6 weeks, no difference in terms of bulk density. However, if we look at EcoTurf, grazed more frequently, we have time and a half or so more bulk density than we did with that 6-week treatment. Okay, well, that's interesting. What other kind of things are going on here? Well, if we look at post-graze leaf mass, so this is rotational stocking, so how much leaf was remaining at the end of a grazing period, what we can see is in both years, highest post-grazing leaf mass was associated with grazing to 4 centimeters every week. So what does that tell us? That tells us that EcoTurf under close frequent grazing is totally changing the way it grows. It is becoming an extremely dense, very low growing canopy that is protecting leaf above seemingly all else. Any other data to support this observation? Again, some of Kim's data. She showed a post-grazing leaf area index of about a time and a half greater for EcoTurf than for FloraGraze. I should add here, some of you may be interested in what's going on below ground. During these 2 years, the amount of root rhizome mass actually increased for EcoTurf grazed weekly to 4, and the botanical composition changed from about 92% to about 88%, essentially negligible. All right. Okay, so let's come full circle. How do we feel about this statement by this point? That's the one you saw earlier. I think we can say that that statement is overgeneralized, that it's all about growth habit. Growth habit is important, but there's more. And I would argue that a critical consideration is the plant plastic? So what do I mean by that? Is the plant capable of adopting its growth characteristics to the defoliation management that is imposed? So is the plant capable of phenotypic plasticity in response to defoliation? And if so, what are the limits of that plasticity? Because, you know, you can push everything a bit too far. All right, so let's wrap up with a couple of implications. Generalizations about response to grazing management across a species are probably ill-advised. Because we, if we looked at FloraGraze, we looked at EcoTurf, our conclusions could hardly be more different in terms of frequent close grazing. Now, I would call FloraGraze very tolerant of grazing. You just can't abuse the heck out of it. Okay. Secondly, generalizations about grazing tolerance based on performance under clipping may not be useful because the plant responds differently when grazed and clipped. We know that, but these data, you know, just kind of hit you over the head with that concept. Lastly, growth habit is an important indicator of plant response, but phenotypic plasticity may actually be more critical, and so when I told my undergraduate students, just look at the plant and tell me how to graze it, I'm actually lying a little bit. There's more that they actually needed to know than just the way the plant looked. Thank you very much. Jim. Okay, I need to say, should I take offense?
my point also was to the, if you were to put sheep on that pasture, you'd have a totally different response than cattle. And that those are all the variables that we tend to forget, because we tend to think of alfalfa and cows or all pasture cows rather than whole gamut of what's available to them.
Right. Good point. Yeah.
What do you think the response is to root mass? Given your response to growth habit,
Yeah, so my interpretation of the data was that because EcoTurf transforms its growth habit and has such a high post-phase leaf mass, it's capable of supporting itself primarily on photosynthate that is occurring immediately after a defoliation event. And so it is much less reliant on root rhizome mass than you would expect a plant to be that was being heavily defoliated. And as a result, it basically had very little impact. If anything, it increased slightly in root rhizome mass over the course of this 2-year study. Well, rhizoma peanut can regrow from rhizomes, but in this particular case, I'm not sure that it needs to, because I think those stems are, very, very short, and so I think regrowth can come from above-ground bud sites. Twain?
Are producers in Florida seeing the same response, and if so, are they substituting or replacing their
So what we're, Dr. Dubay's work, as well as some that we've done, would suggest that EcoTurf is a very nice choice for some of these strip planting type systems, for any type of grazing system integrated with something like bahia grass. Now, I surely would not go to an extension meeting and tell them to graze it weekly to 4 centimeters, okay? That's not getting out there. But you're a group of scientists, so I'm going to show you the scientific results, but the message to producers would be that you could graze it more heavily than Flora Graze without penalty.
That's all we have time for. Thank you,
yep.
Man.
Thank you.